To a turn to Hebrews chapter 9, beginning at verse 1, and we're going to verse 14. Hebrews chapter 9, beginning at verse 1, and we're going to verse 14. The writer to the Hebrews is writing to the Hebrews. He's actually giving them a contrast of the old as opposed to the new. And in the scripture, there's a little twist with the old to the new. We're going to look quickly at that. We don't want to hear no snores. Amen. Aaron.
Amen.
Now, even the first covenant had regulations for worship and an earthly place of holiness. For a tent was prepared, the first section in which were the lampstand and the table and the bread of the presence. Uh-huh. It is called the holy place. Behind the second curtain was a second section called the most holy place, having the golden altar of incense and the ark of covenant covered on all sides with gold, in which was a golden urn holding the manna and Aaron's staff that bloomed and the tablets of the covenant. And above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot now speak in detail. These preparations have thus been made. The priests go regularly into the first section, performing their ritual duties. But in the second only, the high priest goes, and he but once a year, and not without taking blood, which he offers for himself and for the unintentional sins of the people. By this, the Holy Spirit indicates the way into the holy place is not yet open as long as the first section is still standing, which is symbolic for the present age. According to this arrangement, gifts and sacrifices are offered that cannot perfect the conscience of the worshiper, but deal only with food, drink, and various washings, regulations for the body imposed until the time of reformation. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy place, not by means of the blood of goats and calves,
right,
but by the means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the sprinkling of defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls and with the ashes of a heifer sanctifies for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offers himself without blemish to God, purifying our conscience from dead works to serve the living God.
Yes.
Man!
Yes.
For a short title this morning, the final high priest has come.
Amen.
The final high priest has come. You may be seated. In the previous chapter 7 and 8, God shows us the superiority of the new priesthood to the old, not from the Aaronic priesthood, but like unto Melchizedek. Chapter 8 shows a better covenant that are fulfilled with the new. Now we come up on our text in chapter 9, and it continues a more detailed look at the old covenant and sanctuary. Interesting. Everybody knows the old temple, right? The temple layout. You have the outer court, and then you have the court where the high priest comes in, and he makes his offerings, and then you have the veil of the temple, which is the most holy, which, according to the text, once a year, a high priest goes in. I think Aaron lost two of his sons because they were not obedient to the sacrificial way. Two of his sons. God was serious. Now listen, this temple was really, the sanctuary was really pointing somewhere. Y'all listen to me? It was really pointing somewhere. It was not pointless. It was pointing somewhere. And listen, can you imagine you offering daily sacrifices over and over and over and over? Now listen, the law and that sanctuary really kind of, they were really pointing you into the right place, the same place. Because what they were really showing you was that there was no way to get out of this sin thing by yourself. You needed somebody else to get you out. The law told you that. The temple rituals told you that, because you're always making sacrifice after sacrifice, and you got the priest with bloody robes on, and you got blood everywhere, telling us that you got a sin problem. Amen. You need somebody to deal with that sin problem. You can't do it yourself. I don't care how much you come back here, you can't do it yourself. Now listen, everything in that temple, Sister Woodmore and Audrey, was made of temporary stuff. By that implication, it means that it wasn't supposed to be around for a long time. Amen. Temporary is never permanent. You got lampstands, you got tables, you got tents, and you have men that are rising and falling. Priest dying, and you have to get another priest in. Have a priest dying, you got to appoint another. It shows a temporary situation. But oh, I'm glad. I'm glad that in the midst of all of that stuff, God was pointing towards somebody that can make it a permanent situation. If you can see it, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I'm almost through. Hey, Pastor. Yeah. Yeah! Yeah! Oh, Jesus, thank you.
Thank you.
Now, verse 11 to 14, it is interesting that God kind of sets it up, Brother Ernest. Make it look kind of dark for you. You can't get out of sin. You got to do stuff over and over and over. And then we roll up on verse number 11. Yeah! The Bible says, but when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, and through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. Amen. Listen. When the high priest went in, I think I'm correct, Pastor, they had to tie something on his ankle. Because if you didn't administer stuff right, God was so serious, and you didn't do it right, you was going to die in there. And can't nobody else get in there but the high priest. You better not crack that veil, because you're going to mess around and get killed yourself. So they got a rope around his foot. And if he falls out and don't come out in a reasonable amount of time, they got to pull him out of there. Damn! But I'm glad that the fight. Real quick. He had to take blood in with him when he went in. He had to sacrifice for himself because he was messed up. Now he had to take the blood in with him, and that signified something else that was coming. That signified that blood and the one that was going in was going to have to be one and the same.
Well,
did you hear me?
The one who had to take the blood in had to take his own blood. It was pointing toward that. If you could see in Jesus' name. Oh, Jesus. And I'm glad.
And it's interesting, God designated that everybody got to come from Aaron's line. Everybody got to come from Aaron's line. Mm-hmm. But that was temporary too, because they kept on dying.
Well,
and they kept on getting in line. You dead? I'm up. You dead? I'm up. Symbolizing itself, and it's all temporary.
Yeah.
I'm pointing towards something that's going to be permanent.
Yeah.
And I needed that. Because that temporary stuff only covered the outside of the situation.
Yeah.
I need something to help me deal with my sin. Bible says, well, let's go to the scripture. And we sing the song, the blood of Jesus. It will never, never, never lose its power. Amazing. Now, is it the blood? The blood is a testimony that the thing has lost its life. Jesus entered the Holy of Holies with his own blood, and he sacrificed his own life. And it was so powerful until it he don't have to go back no more to do it. It's over.
Yeah.
That's why my salvation is secure.
Yeah.
Because he did it once.
Yeah.
And it's over.
Yeah.
Right. He was the Passover lamb. Yeah, I knew that, didn't you? The Passover lamb. Let me remind you. In Egypt, the last plague was a death angel. Those that were not covered by the blood on the doorpost, they were doomed. They were dead. But Jesus gave his own blood. He went into the Holy of Holies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what are the ramifications of that? Since his blood is so powerful and his sacrifice was so powerful, I can live holy now.
Yeah. Amen.
It not only set me free, but sister, if I'm on a job and somebody's pushing my button, I don't have to respond because his blood is so powerful.
Amen.
When I'm at home, not you, when I'm at home and somebody gets on my nerves, that's what I say about her. I don't have to respond because his blood is so powerful.
Man.
Once, that's it.
Amen.
Philippians 1:6. It wasn't on the chart. But it sounds good. Philippians 1:6. Once and for all. Whoa, and they've been sacrificing all the time, over and over, and the one who everything was pointing to came and it was over in one shot. That's why when the devil say you ain't saved and you done this and you done that, you better point to a sacrificial sacrifice of Jesus that was once and for all done. Tell them who you are in Jesus' name. Probably got that. Philippians 1:6. Come on, brother. Nice and loud.
Set up, read it. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ.
Wait a minute. He had started the thing. He in the middle of the thing. Sanctification. And at the end, he's going to bring you to the end. He started. He's in the middle. He's going to bring you home. One sacrifice, you all. Just one sacrifice.
Uh-huh.
This is just a reminder. You all already know this, I'm sure. Already know this. I'm just reminding me. Go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I want Phil to stand up and read that for me, please. Let me get there. Can everybody get there?
2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come.
Amen. Listen, you all. I said it earlier while I was talking to you all. I got my badge in my hands, right? Now, if that one sacrifice was so efficacious as it is, then I can really drop what I have because it's not going to help me when I get to where I need to be. Because the Bible says, because of what Jesus has done, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Right. Now listen, because of one sacrifice, you all, I don't have to succumb to that caller ID that I talked to you about before. It called with my old past. And I look on there and say, yeah, I used to enjoy that. I don't have to succumb to that no more. Because in Christ, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Okay. I don't see no stones yet, so I guess I'm all right. Somebody go to Matthew 27:51, please. Matthew 27:51. You want to read? Come on, son. Set up and read nice and loud. So everybody can hear.
Matthew 27:51.
27:51. Mm. Read like you're on the playground, man. Come on.
And behold, the
curtain
of the temple was torn into from top to bottom.
Amen. Thanks, brother. That was a good reader, too. Amen. Go ahead, Ken. Now, before, we talked about that veil, right? Mm-hmm. And how dangerous it was to go behind that veil unless you knew what you were doing and you were appointed there. Now, according to this scripture, it's now torn from the top to the bottom. The Bible says it's really indicative that God started to tear and continued to tear until it's wide open so we can see it. But now, listen. The only way we can really see in is through Jesus. Wait a minute. Is that a whole other veil? Oh, interesting. Think about it. The only way we can really see in now is through Jesus. No man cometh to the Father except by me. That's what Jesus said.
Amen.
Now, Romans 6:11. I just got one more scripture after this, and then I'll let you all go and take a nap.
Romans 6:11-12.
Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves. Do me a favor, Santa.
Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof.
So I'm no longer obligated because of what this one sacrifice has done. And that's interesting because sin was ingrained in my flesh. It was my flesh's ally. Now, what in the world can break that stronghold? That's the power of Jesus. The blood was so strong until it broke that thing down, and I don't have to obey my own whims no more.
Amen.
That's why every time you come to this table,
amen.
This table is the reminder that I'm free.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
This was done one time and I'm free.
Every time you get to the table. Not only that you're forgiven, but that it's been done already and I can't forgive. One time!
Yes, yes. Yes, yes. Preach the word.
6:13-14. Romans 6:13-14. I'll tell you what to make sure she did such a good job. Why don't you roll on that book?
Neither yield ye yourself your members as instruments of unrighteousness.
Hold on. Now, before I came to know Jesus, sister, that was my M.O. It's a jump, and I say, how high? But because of one time, Brother Taylor, go ahead. I didn't mess you up. Go ahead.
Neither give your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but give yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace.
Amen. All these good reasons. Lord have mercy. Make it clear to us, too. Nobody can get out of here unscathed like I couldn't get out unscathed. You know? We no longer have a reason now to live the way we used to live. I didn't deliver a disclaimer, brother. I'm sorry. If he wasn't going to obey, he should have came this morning.
Mm-hmm. All right.
You should have been one of the ones who was missing this morning. Because if you hear the word, then you're obligated now to obey the word. And listen, you don't have to do that stuff. You have the power to obey now. Because the Bible says Jesus offered himself by the eternal Spirit. Everything he did from the front to the back was by the Spirit of God. And that same Spirit lives in you.
Amen. Amen.
So, on my job, devil, you can't steal my joy. Mm-hmm. Because I got power to choose joy today. Yeah. I got the power not to go off today. I got the power now to not yield to illicit sex no more. Because of one time. Yeah. Okay. I want you all to think about something. See if you caught me. What does the law and the temple ceremonies have in common? Think about it. Just think about it. Quick enough, you know, I already called, so I ain't that swift. So think about it. I don't want nobody jumping and shouting. I want you walking holy. 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 That's it. All right, Brother Phil. The final priest has come. He has the final solution for our sin. And all we need to do is choose. We got power to choose now. Amen. I want you all to think about that. And I hope it gets you like it got me. Amen.
Amen, brother.